morning, everyone. My name is Renee. I pastor the neighborhood that you prayed for this morning. Thank you so much for praying for us. It is really fun. I was just there and they enjoyed learning that everyone was praying for them this week. So God is doing incredible things in and through the neighborhood, and we love having a front row seat to it. We love seeing the kingdom of God spread into even more parts of our city because we've stretched the Evanston Vineyard arm further out. So thank you for praying for us. So this week in our Bible reading plan that we call Eating Well, we finished the book of Philippians. If you have never heard of Eating Well is our venture into the Bible for a year. As a church community across our campuses, we are reading 4 chapters a week, and then we come back on Sunday morning and talk about a piece of those chapters, a piece of what we've read. And it's been a really incredible experience to faithfully read the Bible over the course of a year in a really concrete and directed way, and then to do it as a community. So if you are participating, awesome, keep going. If you dropped out, come back. You can just join back in, and if you've never started, download our reading plan, or you can check one out at the Welcome Center. I highly recommend this kind of element of being a part of a church community. So I've really enjoyed it, and I think you would benefit from it too. So this week in Eating Well, we finished the book of Philippians. And at the end of the book of Philippians, Paul gives an appeal to the early church and to us to be faithful. In suffering and persecution, be faithful. In the midst of conflict, when life is complicated, be faithful, follow Jesus. And Paul gives like a 2-part explanation for faithfulness. 2 kind of side rails, if you will, that guide our practice of being faithful. And I would sum it up this way. Keep your eyes on heaven and stay in step with Jesus. That's what Paul means when he says, be faithful. Keep your eyes on heaven and stay in step with Jesus. This is how Paul says it. In Philippians 3, verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul means by that is based on your confession of faith, based on that baptism that Steve is talking about, in that moment, you became a match with Jesus. You belong with Jesus. Your perfect state as a child of God is living in perfect unity with your Creator. And we are waiting for that moment. We belong to heaven now. We don't belong to this world. And so we live in this posture of waiting to be reunited with our Jesus. Waiting to live in heaven together. That is where we belong. And then 2 verses later, at the very, very beginning of chapter 4, Paul says this. So, brothers and sisters, I love you and I miss you. You are my joy and my crown. Therefore, dear friends, keep your relationship with the Lord firm. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay in step with Jesus. Take care of your relationship with Jesus. Both of those things, kind of put together, is the state of being faithful. Keep our eyes on heaven and staying in step with Jesus. That's what Paul means when he calls us to be faithful. We are waiting for what's to come, and we are called to what's in front of us. And there is tension in that place. My family and I are moving in 6 weeks. We're moving really close to where we currently live, but our new place is going to meet the needs of our family, and it's really close to my kids' school, and we are just so excited. Okay, we talk about moving all the time. We've got a countdown on our refrigerator. We cannot wait. I think about moving all the time. Okay, and there is so much to do, right? The list keeps getting longer and longer. We're doing projects on our new place. We need to pack and kind of close down our life in our old place and then somehow move all of our stuff. There's so much to do. And do you know what I keep forgetting to do? The thing that I keep forgetting to do, the thing that keeps like gnawing at me and I can't seem to find any place in my life to do it is laundry. And going to the grocery store. And cleaning my bathroom. All I want to do is think about moving. I want to plan. I want to pick out paint colors. I want to imagine where I'm going to put the furniture. I want to meet my new neighbors. I want to settle into this new routine. And I have to do my laundry and get groceries and clean my bathroom. And there is this tension there. All I want to do is the thing that's moving us forward, but the thing in front of me is what I need to do. Because if I don't do those things, life is kind of miserable. Especially with small kids. They generate a lot of dirty clothes. Life is really miserable if I don't tend to what's in front of me. All I want to do is dream and imagine and plan and be excited. And the thing that I'm called to do is the practical stuff that's right in front of me. And there is great tension in that space. We are called to keep our eyes on heaven and to stay in step with Jesus. We keep our posture focused and waiting for a reunion with him, and we have to take care of our relationship with him now. So this morning we're talking about staying in step with Jesus, the day in and the day out of faithfulness. Today we're talking about the laundry, grocery shopping, cleaning your bathroom sorts of stuff of following Jesus. And often we can think that this stuff isn't very inspiring, that this is the hard road, this is the day in and the day out, the slogging through it. It doesn't sound very exciting, and in fact, usually when we get to these parts in the Bible, we just gloss over them. We've been reading a few of Paul's letters by now, and they all seem to have the same pattern. There's a kind greeting at the beginning with like various shout-outs to specific people. Then chapters and chapters of beautiful imagery and poetry and prophetic language about Jesus and the body of Christ and who we are as God's children. And then all the letters end the same way, with one final chapter that the Bible printing people have decided to call a final farewell. Do you have that part of your Bible? It's like always the last chapter of the letter. And it's called a final farewell. And in that farewell, there's all sorts of like little phrases, kind of short, small sentences that give a charge or an instruction from Paul. Be thankful. Be generous. Take care of one another. Don't be anxious. In all things, pray. Care for one another. And we often get to that final farewell of the letter. We see that header in the last chapter of the letter, and we think, great, I'm done with another letter. Check that off my reading plan. Well, I can just like skim over this letter. Like Paul's just wrapping it up. The bulk of the teaching is over. So we kind of skim through that last part. But when we do that, we miss something. Paul's overarching instruction to us and the early church was be faithful. And in those final greetings, Paul gives all of these instructions and teachings and wisdom about what faithfulness looks like. He gives this charge at the beginning of the chapter, keep your relationship with the Lord firm. And as he's saying goodbye, he tells us how to do that. How do we keep our relationship with the Lord firm? Think about it like bricks on a house. It takes many bricks to create the structure of a home, right? Each brick is essential and important and valuable and strategic to the structure of the whole house. So in that final chapter of Paul's letters, there are all sorts of little bricks that we can use and practice as followers of Jesus to keep the structure of our relationship with God firm. all sorts of bricks that we can practice and take care of and make sure that we've got in place so that our whole relationship with God can stand firm. And so this morning, we are going to look at three of the bricks that Paul offers us in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. Paul is not just signing off in this letter at the end. He's not wrapping it up. The teaching is not over. He commissions us to be faithful, and then he tells us how to do it. And there are three things that are essential to the faithful, firm relationship with Jesus that I think Paul offers us in this last chapter. And here's the first one. The first one is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is what it says. Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and requests while giving thanks. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and your emotions through Christ Jesus. The first brick that Paul wants to make sure you pay attention to is your heart. Do not be anxious, never worry, is his instruction. Now, I will say, as someone who has experienced worry and varying levels of anxiety, the worst thing you can say to someone who is anxious or worried is, don't worry, right? If someone is standing in front of you and they're all tangled up and they're really worried about something and the weight of that is becoming more and more clear, literally the worst thing you can do as a listener is say, don't worry. That is not encouraging. That is not helpful when you are overwhelmed by worry. So before, so if your heart kind of, I don't know, shuts down when you read a verse like this, give me 1 second before you roll your eyes at Paul, okay? I think what Paul is saying in this text is you don't have to worry alone. You don't have to carry the weight of your anxiety and your worry alone. Jesus is with you. When I'm worried, when I'm in a moment where I'm kind of out of sorts or overwhelmed, or I'm kind of starting to panic a little bit, I forget all the things that are good for me, right? I forget how to take care of myself. I forget how to find Jesus. I forget how to reach out to my community. Sometimes I even forget to just say out loud, I'm worried or I'm anxious. And I think what Paul is doing here is he's saying, when you're in that place, when worry and anxiety is creeping up, here's something you can do. Give it to Jesus. Prayers and requests, whatever your need is, whatever you are feeling, whatever you are afraid of, turn and give it to Jesus. You don't have to hold it alone. And so Paul is saying, in that place, pray. With prayers and requests, that can be a quiet, serene prayer in your home. That can be journaling during your lunch break. That can be yelling in your car. Whatever version of that is, say out loud to God what it is, the thing that you are holding. God is standing in front of us with open arms. He's ready for it. You cannot overwhelm God. You cannot startle God. You will never surprise God. He can handle it. It's kind of remarkable. And in that place where you talk to him about how you are and what you're holding, God offers us peace. Peace that goes beyond anything we can imagine. Peace that you cannot fake. Peace that you cannot force. I was praying for someone recently, and when I asked him how I could pray for him, he listed kind of all the things that are going on in his life, and it was really overwhelming. Just as the listener sitting there waiting to pray for him, I thought, oh my gosh, I know exactly why you're overwhelmed. There were lots of things in his heart, his life, that were hard and overwhelming and scary, and like problems that didn't have clear solutions, and clearly this man was like all tangled up in his brain. And so we started to pray. And like a few minutes into praying for him, I felt like God said to me, tell him to tell me how he is feeling. Does that make sense? Okay. So God was basically asking the man, rather than telling Renee, the pastor, or the prayer, tell God. So I said to him, I think that God wants to hear how you are from you. So this guy closed, I mean, he has his eyes closed, and he just starts to talk to God. He starts to list all the things that are in his head and in his heart, all the ways that he's all tangled up and panicking and afraid and worried, and it was like watching a towel that is soaking be wrung out. All of it is coming out. And when he got done, it was kind of full of passion and heart and pain. And he got done, and I just very quietly and simply prayed for God's peace to come. Lord, will you send your peace? And then like 2 minutes later, he opened his eyes and we stopped praying. What was so striking to me was this. Nothing about this guy's life changed in the, 4 minutes that we were praying, right? He was still going home to his world that was overwhelming and out of sorts and really scary. But when I asked him how he felt, the guy said this, I feel like God heard me. That's all he said. I feel like God heard me. God is available to hear you. Can you imagine in that place where you are most out of sorts, in that place that you are most tangled up, can you imagine the experience of being heard by your Creator? I don't think that Paul's instruction is don't worry or don't ever be anxious. You know, just keep that under control. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying you don't have to do that alone. You don't have to face that dark, foggy place by yourself. Jesus is there. He's with you. Worry keeps us from Jesus. It pulls us farther and farther from the truth. It pulls us farther and farther from a real perspective of the character of God. So what is the thing that you are all tangled up about? What is the thing that has you out of sorts and overwhelmed? That is the thing that God is waiting to listen to. That is the thing that God wants to respond to you with peace. And then Paul moves to the next brick in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The second brick is your mind. What you think about, how you assess other people, how you talk to yourself, what you focus on, how you make decisions, it matters. All of those things have a huge impact on your relationship with God and with others. Your mind is really, really important to Jesus. You were created to think and to problem solve, to plan and to discover, to invent and to create. You were designed to question and to have conclusions, to contemplate, to understand things. And there's a whole lot of junk that gets in the way of your mind working the way that God designed it to. There's a whole lot of stuff that compromises God's design of your mind. I like to think about it like seaweed. Have you ever been in a lake that's full of seaweed? It's kind of a miserable experience. So there you are as a swimmer or maybe in a boat, and you think you're going to have this like refreshing afternoon out of the city, and you get in the water, or I have vivid memories of as a kid jumping into a lake and not knowing there was seaweed and then bobbing up and being like, oh my gosh, gosh, something's eating me. You know, it's all tangled up in your legs. Or maybe you're on a boat and you hit this patch of seaweed and the only sound, you hear that terrifying sound of like everything is all tangled up. Your mind is meant to have crystal clear, beautiful, serene, pure water. But there's a whole lot of stuff like seaweed that threatens the integrity of your water. All sorts of things contribute to that. What you read, what you listen to, what you watch, how you talk to other people, how other people talk to you, how you talk to yourself, where your mind wanders. All of that are seaweed contributors to your mind. All of that compromises the integrity of that water, if you will. And so we kind of have to run some tests every once in a while on the waters of our minds. What's in there? So if you want to do that, this would be my suggestion to you. Take one day this week. Can be any day. Take one day this week. Bring a piece of paper everywhere you go and just write down everything you think about. If your internal reaction to that like challenge is no thank you, you should do it. Okay? That's like a little back and forth, okay? If that's your reaction, like no thank you, that sounds horrible, that means kind of indicator you should do this. Okay? You don't have to write paragraphs, just like little thoughts. Whatever races through your brain. Because what's true is that very often our minds are on autopilot. We don't even realize the stuff that courses through our minds in a day. We don't even notice the way we talk about ourselves. We don't even notice the way we think about other people. We don't even notice the statements that we make about God or his goodness or the situation in front of us. We don't even notice it. So you know what? If you're going to take care of your mind, you got to start to notice. And the way to do that is to write down what you think about. I have a friend that tried this. She felt like God was saying to her that she didn't speak very kindly to herself in her mind. And she was like, I don't know what God's talking about. Like, I feel like I'm confident and secure in myself. I think I'm pretty kind to myself. But it just was this thing that she felt like God was telling her to do. So she did it. And you know what? She couldn't make it past 1 o'clock. Started in the morning when she woke up, and she wrote everything that she thought until 1 p.m. And she said, by 1 p.m., I was so devastated by what was on that list, I couldn't even keep going. She didn't even realize the junk that was in her brain. She didn't even realize all the crummy ways she talked about herself or she talked about other people in her brain. Curate your thoughts. Be picky. Be selective about what gets to live in your brain. You were designed by Jesus. So you know what? Take care of your mind. Be selective about what lives in there. Your mind matters. And then the last brick is in Philippians 4:9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The third brick that Paul is pointing to in his charge to be faithful is our hands, what we do. Take everything you have learned and received and heard and go do something with it. Don't just sit here and learn and receive and listen. Go do something with it. Try it. Apply it. Put it into practice. One of the reasons that we end every service the same way is that we want to be a church that goes out and practices. Every Sunday, we end our services across all of our campuses saying, go out into the world and be the church. Don't just come to the church. Be the church. Practice. Everything you've learned, everything you've seen, everything you've heard, go practice. Go try it. Go apply it. See if it stands steady. Test it. Bring it out into your world. at work, at home, at the grocery store, in your neighborhood, with your family of origin, with your neighbors. Try it. Just take it out and apply it and see what happens. This is probably one of my most favorite parts about pastoring the neighborhood. When you start a new church, or a new church campus, you have a group of people that are just so eager to practice. And then you've got a lot of new people that are coming through the doors that are eager to learn. So it is the most beautiful combination. So every Sunday morning, we open up the doors of this goofy elementary school and we get to practice. We get to pray for people. We get to practice being a community. We get to practice being faithful. We get to practice caring for one another. We get to practice worshiping together. We get to practice experiencing wisdom and teaching and instruction. And you know what? It's a blast. Yeah, okay, every once in a while there's a little hiccup. Every once in a while something doesn't go right. Every once in a while someone makes a mistake. But you know what? Those moments are an opportunity to practice apologizing. And that is very good as well. Practice. Church, you have learned and received and seen such good things. So go out and practice. If someone tells you they don't feel good, you know that Jesus heals people, so offer to pray for them. If you're stuck in a situation and you need wisdom, well, you know that you're a part of the body of Christ. So call a friend. Ask for prayer. Call a pastor. If someone around you has a need, well, you know that you are called to care for people. You see Jesus do it all the time. So help out. Pitch in. Lend a hand. We often think that we cannot practice until we have achieved some like superstar status of following Jesus. Right? Until I am confident in my faith, until God sorts this out, I cannot practice. Or I'm not ready yet. Well, let's just dispel that lie right now. This is not a video game. There are no levels. Okay? Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to practice. Everyone gets to participate in the kingdom of God. So go out and do it. That is a part of being faithful. What happens in your heart, what lives in your mind, and what you do with your hands are all elements of being faithful. We are called to tend to our relationship with Jesus now. We are called to create a firm relationship with Jesus now. And so we need to pay attention to these little bricks, these little elements of it along the way. And so as we read these things, as we list these things, as we continue to make our way through the final greetings of Paul's letter, we read these bricks and we ask ourselves these questions. Is there a particular area in my life that needs some repair? Is there a particular brick, instruction, or teaching that is a part of being faithful that is not in a good place? If you need a visual, is there a brick that's starting to crumble or crack or is a little loose? Is there something that is compromising a firm relationship with Jesus? It is our call and our responsibility and our charge to keep checking our relationship with God. Is it firm? Is it standing steady? Or is there something that needs repair? The band can start making their way back up. For me, the wobbly brick that has been there for a long time and may be there for a long time more is worrying. That's my wobbly brick. That's the part of my heart that always just feels a little shaky. And so when I'm feeling that way, when I sense that worry is coming up in all these crazy ways, or I'm feeling disoriented or out of sorts or all tangled up, that's when I need to go to Jesus. And so if there is a particular brick in your relationship with Jesus that needs some attention, I think there are two things you can do. The first thing is is that you can ask God for help. Point to the part of your relationship with God that needs some work. Tell God about it. Like that guy who just had an honest conversation with God. Have an honest conversation with God. Lord, my worry is out of control. I cannot see you. Jesus, my thoughts are full of junk and destructive things. There is nothing pure or noble for miles. Lord, I am so out of practice, I am terrified to start. Whatever the thing is, name it. Point to it. Tell Jesus the place where you want him to come and do some repair work. And then as God does his healing, as God sends his presence and his power on you in that place, I think the last thing you can do is we need to make some new choices. We need to participate in the repair of our relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's learning how to pray when your worry kicks in. Maybe it's changing the stuff you listen to, the stuff you read, the stuff you think about. Maybe it's making a conscious effort to put things into practice after you hear them or read them. Whatever it is, we get to participate in the repair and in the strengthening of our relationship with Jesus. Be faithful is Paul's instruction to us. We are waiting for heaven with great anticipation, and we are absolutely called to tend to our relationship with Jesus now. Do not neglect or ignore the basics. This is the laundry, grocery shopping, cleaning bathroom sorts of stuff. It isn't always inspiring, but it is the stuff that keeps our relationship with Jesus firm and growing and steady. That is where we want to be as we wait for heaven together. So we're going to sing one last song together. And as we do, if you've got a particular brick in mind, if you've got a place where you know you need Jesus to come and do some work, tell him during the song. Use that time and that space to point to it yourself. So will you stand as we sing this last song together?